there's any comments or that.
We are recording.
Sure. Do you need to do the certification?
Just say, is there any comments from the audience?
Is there any comments from the audience today? Okay. Do you want me to do introductions?
Or Nancy. Or Jackie.
Today we have a presentation from the president of the Fund for the Future of Pikes Libraries, Jackie Knoppen. She's been president for at least 3 years.
At least 3 years.
Jackie works at the Cleveland Orchestra and has been a very loyal and hardworking member of the board and will remain on the board after she is no longer president, which is great for us. And I'll turn it over to Jackie.
Great. I have a little speech and won't take up too much of your time, but I just want to say good evening, everyone. My name is Jackie, as Nancy said. I'm the current president of the board for the Fund of the Future of Pikes Libraries. I'm proud and honored to be finishing my tenure as president, though I will happily remain on the board, and to be with you tonight. The Fund for the Future of Pikes Libraries has worked diligently to fundraise for the new Peace Park Playground. Through mailings, phone calls, community events, and more, we have been able to donate $262,000 to the library already. For those of you who have joined us, who had joined us at our party for the Peace Park at the Garage Shop in November, thank you. We not only raised $11,143.78 that night, but we created memories with some of the community members who were part of the construction of the former park. We are so proud that all of our efforts are going to bring the community together in a beautiful new park designed to be inclusive to all of our residents and serve as a gathering place to read, play, perform, and explore. So far, some steps that we have taken include, in May, we received approval for the revised Coventry Peace Park plans from the Cleveland Heights Planning Commission. In July, Heights Libraries hired the construction manager. In November, the 30-year-old playground was demolished, as I'm sure you guys have all seen. Next month, we'll receive the schedule for site preparation, playground equipment installation, tree planting, landscaping, lighting, and security, and we hope to break ground in February. We will reach substantial completion in May with bird delivery in October. Next summer, Coventry Peace Park will reopen, celebrating our community with a variety of programs and events. And lastly, we continue to fundraise for more equipment for the park into 2025, and more trees will also be planted. So that all being said, we are making some amazing progress, and before we know it, a beautiful cardinal will be standing tall on Coventry, serving as a beacon to all to come and enjoy this amazing new community asset. So today, I present the library with a check for $150,000 to continue the great work. Thank you all so much for having me here tonight and for all that you do. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Debbie. Should I take a picture?
Thank you so much.
Wait, thank you.
Yeah,
we
talk.
Oh, good. Okay, I'll let you do it.
Hello,
YouTube.
Oh, here. Seeing that you guys are all successful,
you start
fundraising with the rock shop.
Oh, yeah?
I'm
going to
go play there.
Okay.
Apparently, Machine Gun Kelly's there too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Have you gotten you going?
My wife and I are talking about it.
You should go.
You should have babies.
I will.
If you want to drop the kid off,
that's great.
Long's out, please.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Thank you, Jackie.
Can I just add that I think I've been to a couple of the fundraisers in the past couple of years, but having it at the Garage Shop is just a whole different feel, and the financials show that much more successful.
So. It was awesome. Yeah. I was truly so excited about it, and everybody seemed to have a great time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Do you want me to do introduction of? Just want to mention we have Hallie Turnbrez back here. She's our new board member who'll be filling in my position starting next month. So welcome. And Steve Sanders, we mentioned from Staff Association. That'll move us into minutes.
Do we have a motion to approve the minutes? Any corrections or adjustments?
A motion.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Financial reports still look good, and Ms., let me go on page Three, our cash investments are yielding almost 5.6%. It's inching up slowly, but after hearing the Federal Reserve Chairman Powell, I think we might be hitting the peak right now, so we'll have to see. If we look at page four, which is a summary of the year-to-date receipts and expenses, the Building and Repair Fund has paid $2.84 million this year, and I have an October and November invoice from, I paid in beginning of December, a $794,000 invoice to Independence, and I've got another one for $901,000. So they're steel and walls and all that, that'll be going up. The negative that still shows for the grants, we've gotten all the money that we could this year based on our expenses, and we'll be closing down purchase orders, so that will be in the black at the end of the fiscal year. The next page just shows the monthly comparison. The one item that is striking, as you can see, with investment earnings, in 21 it was 123, in 22 general fund received 210, and this year we received 417.
Wow.
So that certainly will help with other items that we need to fund. The next page has some typos that the column heading says October, and the header says September, but the numbers, if you look, I just didn't catch changing that. It's a $12,832 in receipts and the $13,156, which matches the expense from the previous. So I think I just didn't change the headers, but everything else in the percentage is drawn by that. So I'll correct that and send it out for next month. This will be the last month that you will see a report for the 299 fund, as one of the items on the agenda is to transfer the remaining cash from that into the general fund. That was the excess utility payments that, according to our agreement with the tenants, we have the legal right to retain, and that will go into the general fund. Does anybody have any questions or concerns on the financial and investment reports? Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Planning and External Relations Committee, nothing.
No items to approve.
All right, easy. Operations Committee, Mr. Tarakia.
All right, members of the Operations Committee have met, discussed, and reviewed the following items and recommend approval by us, the Library Board of Trustees. We have the approval of property liability and cyber insurance. Be it resolved that the Board of Library Trustees grants permission to the fiscal officer to accept the annual premium of $80,705 for the library's comprehensive property casualty and liability insurance with the Ohio plan for the period from December 1st, 2023 through November 30th, 2024. And be it further resolved that the Board of Library Trustees grants permission to the fiscal officer to accept the annual premium of $6,025 for the cyber insurance with Travelers Insurance for the period from December 1st, 2023 through November 30th, 2024. Never remember, have a motion?
I'll second.
And any comments?
Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Llewellyn?
Yes.
Mr. Gerbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes. All right, next we have an authorization to request 2024 real property tax advances. Be it resolved that in order to provide funds to meet anticipated operating expenses for the year 2024, the Library Board of Trustees of the Cleveland Heights University Heights Library, under the authority of Section 321.34 of the Ohio Revised Code, requests that the county fiscal officer advance to it whatever tax funds can be made available prior to the regular tax settlement dates during fiscal year 2024. Can I have a motion, please?
I'll motion.
A second?
I'll second.
Any questions, comments?
What does this mean?
When the tax bills go out, you know, there's a settlement where we get our property tax money, and the tax bills are paid in January, and it usually takes the county auditor's office 8 to 10 weeks to cash all the checks, run the reports to say, okay, this is how much the county gets, the Metro Parks, Tri-C, Cleveland Heights City, University Heights City, and the library. And what happens is, as that money's coming in, this section of the revised code allows us to request that, you know, even if only half of the amount they anticipate collecting has been received, they can go through and do the allocation and give us our portion of what's been received. So if by the first week of February they have $150 million, they run it through and they'll give us an advance of what the final settlement is. And typically we get $1 million or so in January and then a couple million in February. We get around $8 million a year. And then in February, when the books have been closed and more checks are in, we'll get around $2 million. And then when the final settlement happens in March, that's when they take out the fees and give us the remainder of the money that they collected on our behalf. So it's, you know, they can't sit on $500 billion or whatever it is for 3 months. That was one of the things that led to, I think, the change from three-member county commissioners to the county council, because the county would not advance us money and they would wait until the legally last day to give out the tax collection money. And they made millions of dollars on it. And so now they have a set schedule that for the first half collection, we get an advance in January and February, and then usually end of March, beginning of April. And then we get usually only one advance in July, and they do the final settlement in August, because there's more than 50% of the people pay 100% of their taxes in the first half settlement, and a lot of them are even like paying it now, that they'll, you know, wiggle it so they'll make three tax payments in 1 year and one the next, so they can get the bigger bang on their itemized deductions and that. So we always get maybe like 70% of our annual tax money in the first half as opposed to the second half. Okay, I call the roll. Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Whelan?
Yes.
Mr. Gerback?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes. We have an approval of fund-to-fund cash advance return. Be it resolved that the Board of Library Trustees grants permission to the fiscal officer to make the following, or fund-to-fund cash advance return from the 299 fund to the general fund, a total of $42,135.99. Motion?
I'll motion.
Second?
Second.
Any questions?
So after this, the 299, the fund will be just closed?
It'll be coming active.
Okay.
Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Llewellyn?
Yes.
Mr. Gerback?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes. All right. Next, we have the approval of the 2023 amended permanent appropriation. Be it resolved that the Board of Library Trustees of the Cleveland Heights University Heights Public Library, Cuyahoga County, Ohio, that to provide for the current expenses and other expenditures of said Board of Library Trustees during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2023, the following appropriations for said fiscal year be adjusted as follows. And we got a whole chart of things. And our new total is $27,627,860.57. And yeah, have a motion. A second?
I'll second.
And any questions, discussion?
Most of the changes are based on the cash received into the funds as opposed to what we spent. So it's bringing the cash estimate for revenue down to closer to what the actual revenue is.
Okay.
Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Whelan?
Yes.
Mr. Gerback?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes. Next, we have approval of the 2024 permanent appropriation. Be it resolved by the Board of Library Trustees of the Cleveland Heights University Heights Public Library, Cuyahoga County, Ohio, that to provide for the current expenses and other expenditures of said Board of Library Trustees during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2024, the following sums be set aside and appropriated for the several purposes for which expenditures are to be made for and during said fiscal year. We have the chart there, a total of $16,587,000. $1,796.22. And I have a motion, please.
I'll motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Any questions?
The majority of the change is the fact that we're not transferring as much into the building and repair fund that, as you can see, that's down. General fund expenditures are down by $2 million, which basically is, right now we're scheduled to give building and repair fund or transfer out of general fund $2 million, but it's been anywhere from 4 to 6 over the last couple of years to pay for Coventry and Noble, and even going back to 2017 with UH and that. So therefore, general fund spending less and the Peace Playground is spending less. And general fund is technically less than the expenditures this year. It's not that we're still giving staff raises and still paying benefits, but just not taking $2 million extra out to pay for building repairs. Does anyone have any questions? Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Fulon?
Yes.
Mr. Gerbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soda Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Geracchio?
Yes. Next, we have an approval to purchase furniture for Lee Road Youth Services. Be it resolved that the Cleveland Heights University Heights Library Board of Trustees approves the purchase of the new furniture for the Lee Road Branches Youth Services Department from Verco under a national consortium purchasing contract in an amount not to exceed $57,432.80. Have a motion?
Motion.
And a second?
I'll second.
Any questions?
Good.
Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Fulon?
Yes.
Mr. Gerbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soda Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Geracchio?
Yes.
Mr. Geracchio, before you go into this, could we look at on page 53 and 52, when we presented the estimate for the sign, it was looking at PVC or aluminum to have the raised letters that said Noble on the back side of the building, and Ms. Levin started talking with Ms. Grishon and said, would stainless steel be better and last longer? And Ms. Grishon got a estimate. The original estimate was $9,887, and if we went to the, it would be, that's for an aluminum finish that fades over time, and the stainless steel is a better option, that's the $11,836. So it's not a big difference, but we wanted the board to make the decision as to which proposal you want to go to. So whoever makes the motion, or when you read it, do you want to say for $9,887 or $11,836?
Do we not have visual comparisons between the
two? They look exactly the same. It's just material.
One is aluminum that's painted, or PVC that's painted a silvery color. The stainless steel is itself the color. So the stainless steel will be, it will not rust, it will not fade, it will last longer. The
aluminum is actually plastic.
PVC, yeah, it's plastic. Yeah.
Aluminum.
It also won't be damaged if someone threw something at it because it's steel.
2000 for longevity.
I think that makes sense.
I agree. I think that makes sense.
That's a good point.
I'm in favor of
that was
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll insert the 11,831 there. Or 836. All right, Mr. Geracchio, thank you.
All right, approval of a new sign for the Noble Neighborhood Branch from the Building and Repair Fund. Whereas the Noble Neighborhood Branch Library is undergoing complete renovations, and whereas the Brilliant Electric Sign Company Limited, BESCO, has provided similar signage for all Heights Library branches, and whereas BESCO has presented a proposal for a wall sign with PVC flush-mounted letters painted Matthews brushed aluminum for the rear entrance, and a proposal for stainless steel letters that would not be subject to fading.
Pick one.
We're going to pick that one, the stainless steel letters. Whereas BESCO has presented another proposal for a ground sign that is double-faced, internally illuminated, pan polycarbonate, painted black and white with faux above gray concrete base painted gray. And therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Library Trustees grants permission for the fiscal officer to approve this proposal for two signs from Brilliant Electric Sign Company Limited for a total of $11,836 for materials and installation. Have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Any other discussion?
Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Fawellen?
Yes.
Mr. Gerbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes. And we have an approval of change orders from the Noble Road Branch from the Building and Repair Fund. Be it resolved that the board authorizes the director and or fiscal officer manager to approve, sign, and deliver in the name of and on behalf of the library for the Noble Road Branch Library Renovation Project the following changes. Proposed architectural services request, ASR 4, for structural design required to reinforce the existing area well, an unforeseen condition discovered after demolition for an additional $3,000. The total contract price for Boswick Design Partners is therefore increased to $848,860. This contract modification will be paid from owner contingency. Motion.
A motion.
Second. Questions?
Is it wall or well? Or well? Reinforce the existing area well?
I think it's the well. It's the okay. Window well. There are four or five of them around the bottom, and one of them had a leak in it. So I think they had to redo the whole
thing. Is that on the north side too?
Yes, they had to, because they had to change it and make it go away as a part of the new building.
Okay. And then would Julie like to back us with what that reinforcement will actually cost from a construction perspective, since this is only for the design work?
I don't know that we've got.
She was supposed to be here tonight. She has another round of COVID, so she.
Yikes.
Was planning on explaining all this. I'm sure she will at the next meeting. Remember that question, I'll write it down too.
And I have a question. Where are we in terms of our contingency? Like,
we're doing great.
We are
halfway through construction.
Okay.
And we have quite a bit of owner contingency left. So she said, for the next few changes, we'll just take it all out of owner contingency because we're ahead of the game.
Okay.
And that way we don't have to worry about spending any more money. And there's a process by which the construction company releases owner contingency, and they will be doing that now as we go too. So we're in good, very good shape budget-wise.
Roll. Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Fawellen?
Yes.
Mr. Gerbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Ms. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Bring it on to the Personnel Committee.
So members of the Personnel Committee have met, discussed, and reviewed the following items and recommended approval by the Library Board of Trustees. Approval of the settlement claim is the first item. Be it resolved that the Cleveland Heights University Heights Library Board of Trustees approves the settlement of an employment claim and authorizes the director and fiscal officer to execute all documents necessary to effectuate the settlement. Motion.
All motion.
Second.
Any discussion?
Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Fawellen?
Yes.
Mr. Gerbach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes.
Before you move on to the salary table, there's another correction that was in front of you. We've made the change to make a technical services associate in step 50. And when we did that, we accidentally left off the technical services assistant, which is an employee of the collection services department.
Mm-hmm. No, it's
that got, it, well, it was eliminated in the one in the board packet.
Oh.
It's, so in, we're the, just it's in the handout.
Gotcha.
So when we moved the tech up there, we accidentally deleted it from step 60. So the one that's in front of you has all of the positions in it.
Okay.
So, approval of the 2024 salary table. It resolved that the Board of Library Trustees accepts the 2024 salary table to be effective January 1st, 2024. And we just looked at it, and that's it. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Any further questions? Ms. Carla?
Yes.
Ms. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Fuhrback?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Sebra Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarrapp?
Yes.
Do you want me to go find Kim?
She's making copies, but it's been a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll keep going. So now it's time for the director's report. Congratulations to Annette for being named one of Crane's Cleveland Business 40 Under 40 honorees in November. The irony was that I don't have a subscription to Crane, so I could only read the first sentence. And then I was behind the paywall, so I can feel everyone's pain when it comes to that. But isn't that lovely? And it's for her work for One South Euclid, which we're very proud to have you on our board as well.
Yay.
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 Debbie, Kim, and I have met many times to go over the 2024 budget, and it is relatively flat. We approve the appropriations tonight, and we'll make our request to the county budget commission.
I certified.
Yes, right. So that we're done with that process. In collections, this year we tried an experiment, and we put all of the different fund accounts on multi-vendors, and it allowed us to cut the number of POs we write every year in half, which is really exciting. That saves so much work, and we are very grateful to Chuck and Jenny and the members of that department for trying this with us. And so now we're not going to be approving any more purchase orders for this year, and we can zero out those accounts, and we don't have to roll over as much money as well. So that saves us, it makes it more efficient coming and going, as I like to say. So we're really grateful to you, Chuck and Jenny. The appraisal process for our managers and staff have begun, just as you've been doing for Debbie and I. And we also received the staff survey from the company ERC, which we do every 2 years. And on the surface of it, it looks like many areas were improved, and I'm happy to see that. And we're meeting next week to go through it line by line. As you may know, there's a numerical measurement, and then there are comments. And the comments are 40 pages of comments, and then the numerical is much more straightforward. So we have not really combed through every little thing yet. I'm sure there are many negative comments. There always are, and we treat those with respect and try to improve. So hopefully we can keep moving the library forward. So we'll talk more about that in the coming days. As you heard from Jackie, our Priest Park event at the Grog Shop netted $11,143.72. We have just presented our first check to the library for $150,000. We will keep those checks flowing as often as we can, hopefully in big chunks like that. Our account at the Cleveland Foundation, we were told now, has to remain at $100,000 to be viable at the Cleveland Foundation. So we have to make some decisions in the future in the FFHL about whether we leave it there or we cash it out and give it all to the library. So we'll have to see. Cleveland Foundation is very helpful to us in that people who donate stock and other kinds of annuities can just give that to them and they liquidate it and make it into cash. We do not have that ability as the FFHL. It also lends a certain amount of trust to our institution to be a part of that wonderful organization. And we're gonna be exploring what we have to do there. But it may make us have more of our donations go straight into our bank account as opposed to and keep the minimal amount at the Cleveland Foundation. We'll see how we go. The goal, ultimately, is to make the Fund for the Future something that people give to every year, and that we continue to improve the Peace Park all the time as we go. And we know that when we do the final build this year, we won't have everything we want, so we will continue to add features and do things to maintain it. So there's a long-term plan that we must work out. We just found out on Friday that the Holden Arboretum will be also giving us maybe 20 more trees, so that's very exciting. We'll be always happy to take them, and thanks to Kayla for working that out. And we received a $5,000 grant for a pollinator garden from Dominion Energy this month, and that is also very exciting. That was something we really wanted to have and had not funded yet, so good for us. At Noble, the furniture and shelving have been selected. Work is happening on the roof and the raised floor this month, and we hope to have a board walkthrough in February. We'll probably figure it out to be one of the nights of the board meeting, but I have to talk to the construction company about having us come that late in the day. They're usually gone by then. In hiring, we are working on a staffing plan for 2024 to prepare for the Noble reopening, and we are also filling other positions, so that's moving along well despite Lori's absence, and she has been coming in 2 days a week, and we're very happy to see her, and it's working out okay to do it that way. We completed our trustee recruitment on December 5th, and Hallie is the result. Hallie is a resident of University Heights, and we're very excited to have her join us. I think we mentioned to the board that we're going to be doing the swearing-in on January 8th. Mark Musson, our county prosecutor, will be here on that night, so we'll get the organizational meeting things out of the way on that night. We'll go into a special meeting, because it's not our usual day. So if your family wants to come or anything, you're welcome to do that. Hallie, often the incoming person brings whoever they'd like to witness. It takes about 5 minutes. It's very quick. I attended a number of events this month. We went to the Greater Cleveland Food Bank Community Resource Building opening. We saw a lot of our partners there, the Family Connections. We talked to people from all over the county. It was very exciting, and it was very crowded, right, mm-hmm. Kim?
Very.
I also attended the State of the City address and the board interviews with Dana, who was there. And it's always nice to be out and about, and people always say nice things about the library, and that's great. On December 8th, I went to the Benjamin Rose Caregiving Conference, where they usually provide updates on research and development in the care and hopefully someday a cure for Alzheimer's. This year they were talking about the state of Ohio opening a new facility called the Golden Buckeye Center in Columbus, but behind it is a great deal of resources that the state is finally organizing as a whole for citizens from all over Ohio. There's definitely a divide between rural areas and cities about how much is available for patients and information and caregiving. Cleveland has, I think, 3 gerontology centers, but if you get out to smaller towns, you have nothing. So I'm glad to see that the state is really moving on this, and a lot is going to happen in the next few months, so we hope to take advantage of the resources that they're going to make available. John Pache is working on a new dementia-friendly week for this year. It will be in May. May is going to be a very busy month. Hopefully that is around the time we will also open Noble. We don't have a date yet. May or June, so we'll get you a calendar date as soon as we can. And then in May, we probably will finish the first phase of the park, except for locating the bird, which will come in October. So lots of fun things are going to be happening. I have the strategic projects report and the communications report, which I will not read out loud, but please pay attention to. Many good things are happening, and the work of Cheryl and Kayla are very much appreciated. And then Chuck put together the best, the most popular books, and children's titles, teen titles, Overdrive titles, and DVDs of the year, just for your fun. Cheryl also posted those on social media. I always like seeing what people have chosen and what I have read compared to what everybody else read, so I have some catching up to do.
Are they newer published Big Search Club, or is that like the 1980s Big Search Club?
They're newer ones, I think.
Oh, okay. I would be impressed if they are.
I had to look that up.
I mean, that's great, though.
Some things never go away, right?
No.
Nancy Drew. And then the Buckeye Book Awards, which are voted on by teachers and students in Ohio, were also announced, so I added that. And then we get into the government report, and basically our money from the PLF is higher than it was last year, and they're assuming that it will continue to rise next year, depending on what happens with the flat taxes and changes in the Ohio budget law. So we're doing okay, gotta keep an eye on it. And then there was a lot of questioning about the marijuana law and what that means for employers. And basically, I'm not reading this to you, but we may still require drug testing as an employer. We do now because it provides us with a big discount on our workers' comp. But as things develop, we may see where that gets us. We can still demand that people may not be under the influence at work. And I think maybe it will depend on how many positive hits we get and what we do. Currently, if someone tests positive in their first initial drug test, we give them a month to clean themselves out and take a test again. And then if they still don't pass, we will generally not retain them. But I think we may be examining that as we go forward and just see what the environment is like. A lot of people use cannabis related stuff for pain control and other things, and it stays in your body a lot longer than alcohol, so I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I will wait and hear what is recommended to us as we go forward. There are a couple of bills that are in the House. The House Bill 187 is about property taxes, and there is also the virtual meetings law. Those we're not sure if they're going to move or not, so they would affect us, especially the property tax bill, because that caps property taxes for seniors. And in most of our community, our two communities, there are quite a few seniors who are homeowners, so that could reduce our property tax levels. And the virtual meetings would allow us to meet online. However, I mean, that has good sides and bad sides. So we are at the mercy of the House and the Senate of Ohio, and we'll see where that all lands. Does anyone have any questions about any of this? A lot of it is still pretty murky, especially with the marijuana law. We don't know.
The one thing is we're talking about January 8th for the committee. Mm-hmm. It's also the staff association, whatever. But mm-hmm. Will you be passing the torch? I can't remember.
I will probably be there
okay.
with the new co-president,
yeah.
and I'll be there to help you with the report, just because this will be the first time I've ever talked to you.
Yeah, just because a quarter or two ago, we kind of brushed over it,
yeah.
just because we were busy, but I want to make sure that we
yes.
have it written so we don't forget.
Thank you.
Because I know it'll be a busy meeting, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kim?
All right. Bless you. Highlights from the November public service report begin with, we have several photos actually in this month's report. The first of which is the appreciation station. So to tie in with Thanksgiving, Heather Hoheiler reported about the popularity. This is the first time that we did something like that, asking customers what they're appreciative about. And as Heather reports, many of the responses are about the library and the library staff and what we do here. So I think it's something that we would like to repeat in the future. From Circulation, they held it's their third passport walk-in day, so a day where customers were not required to make an appointment for passport services, although they were certainly allowed to if they wanted to. Ty thought that perhaps because it was during Thanksgiving week that might have been the reason that traffic was a little bit slower than what they'd seen the first two times. So they're hoping to do another one in the spring during the spring break for tight schools. So I like that they're going to continue that, and because sometimes it is frustrating for customers who don't realize they really should make an appointment. To not get a service when they walk in. The continuing education highlight starts here and continues on the next page. Derek included some really nice compliments that two of our technology trainers received. Anne, who teaches the Excel class, and then Kate, who teaches the Intro to HTML class. So he included those in his highlights for the month. The Coventry report at the end, lots of programs at Coventry this month. Maggie reports on one of the partnerships that we have with Roxborough Elementary and just kind of summarized the outreach visits that they had during the fall. So that's always good when we can maintain and even increase our relationships with the schools. So they're going to continue doing that through the year, but just kind of like a summary of the fall accomplishments of our youth services staff at Coventry. And then at Noble, I thought we had more pictures, but maybe I'm wrong. So Constance reported on different programs as well that they're doing. A lot of those are still being done at DCC because of the lack of space at the B&H building. So Constance reported on the adapted story time and story stop, and then a visit that they were able to put together with a naturalist from the Shaker Nature Center. So introducing children to the turtle and the snake. I kind of cringed with the snake. University Heights, there is a picture with staff member Catherine Bransky and then a student. So one of the things that, I'm sorry, Cheryl, do you mind scrolling down? I actually have two pictures from UH. I'll go ahead and talk about this one. First is a customer's, her geraniums that she wanted to house over and offer to the UH branch. So they took them in and they're fostering them over winter, and the geraniums are blooming. And then the picture that was above was one of our pages, Kamaria Kabir, she's a really talented artist, and she had painted a mural that was in the teen room for a long time, but she also created an activity box for an event that our youth services staff went out and did. So we had two different pictures, and the way that the PDF worked, they were not on the same piece of page. And then finally, youth services, there's another picture of a customer and some children. So a pop-up play program that had 29 people just kind of drop in. We have found probably over the course of this past year, really, that all youth services programming at Lee Road is at capacity nearly all the time. They added one of their Waddlers programs probably midway through the year, just a second offering, because they were basically at capacity and more customers wanted to come in with children. So programming remains incredibly popular and still is increasing along the way. Are there any questions from the public service report for November? Okay, I'll move into statistics. So the circulation breakdown is here for the month of November. So again, some really good numbers. Physical circulation is still almost 73%. Overdrive keeps certainly creeping up and is getting close to 25% of our population. We also do a lot of net lending with Overdrive because we have an Overdrive Advantage account. So you can see that we still continue to increase our users and our circulations with OverDrive. And then streaming is still also building its audience, and it was looks kind of small there at the end, but keeping in mind those are some very specialized products, that's kind of to be expected. So we'll continue on to the circulation breakdown by branch. Yes.
Before we go on to circulation, and I know it's probably a long explanation, but
yeah.
Can you give an overview about the CleveNet app update?
On the mobile app?
It's not working.
Yeah.
And that's,
no,
that's it. We don't know.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's
very frustrating.
Discontinuation of service, it's some kind of app interface issue.
Right. Yes. And
I mean,
we have not.
It's long. Like they're done with that app.
Yeah.
I think so.
I got an email today saying that,
right.
Yeah, that they're going to be finding another app.
Yeah.
So
it's just the CleveNet IT staff. It's
caught,
dropped.
We were all caught.
Yeah,
with our
it's dropped, and there's no service, and we've not heard anything from CleveNet. Now we do. So Matt, Nancy, and I will attend the CleveNet directors meeting at the end of January, and I'm sure we're going to discuss it. But there's been no communication.
Right.
I haven't seen. Matt, have you seen anything?
Not anything past the email we got.
Yeah.
The statement here.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if we'll see it drop. Because of that, just because you work,
right.
You know, I can't get
it
to work out.
I'll go to county or something like that. Possibly.
We did communicate to customers.
Yeah.
I mean, Libby still works.
Sure.
Yes, although, I mean, Libby is for OverDrive products, and the CleveNet app was for
everything.
Yeah.
We do have a very mobile friendly website that you can go to it on your phone. You can go to catalog really easily.
We might want to remind people again about that because, you know, if you haven't visited in a while, you may want to know what to do.
Or may assume that the app is back.
Yeah, I would just, I feel like we should just put a permanent banner or something, really, until they...
The app is gone, we didn't do it.
Yeah, we had a problem. Part of the problem is it obscures everything else on the web page, so like right now, I'll
do it. All right. Then going back to the packet, I see on my printout. The November circulation is not there, and I apologize. I am positive I put it in because I do it at the same time that I do this. So
I don't know. If
it just didn't save.
Yeah.
But. I do know we're certainly on course to exceed 2022 circulations because I was all excited to report that, but now you don't see that proof. So I'll make sure when we do the December report that the stats are in there. Saving these just to OneDrive, maybe I closed out before it saved. So I know that's not there. But the visitor numbers are. Cheryl, are you able to? Thank you. That's the CERC empty. We'll just scroll on down to visitors. And so our visitor numbers, we'll see, I think, where we are. I would think that we would exceed 2022. That's going to depend. Obviously, Noble being closed. And I know I've heard from Constance, I've heard from other staff at the B&H building that traffic is starting to slow down. We're in the thick of our slow period. That will change in January when we rev up again, but right now everyone's in kind of holiday mode. So I would imagine we will just barely exceed 2022 numbers. Since Noble's closed now, but last year at this time we were contending with UH being closed for the flood. So.
And we had the book sale, so maybe that will help our December numbers.
True.
So that might.
Yeah. So that's where we are. Any questions about statistics? All right, that's all I have.
We have no unfinished business. New business, we have a resolution of recognition of a board member that Mr. Tarakia. Don't be reading.
It's
so good at.
It's a long one.
It's been a long time.
Do you need some water before you speak?
I'm good. I'm good.
Should I just say or should Max be standing?
I think Max should stand. I think you should both.
My voice will carry just fine.
When you're done, we want a picture of the two of you.
And we have a gift for us too. So.
All right.
Okay. Well, if you're not going to stand, fine.
Oh. we can both stand. That's all right.
A resolution of recognition for Max Gerbach. Whereas Max Gerbach was appointed to the Board of Library Trustees of the Cleveland Heights University Heights Public Library in 2017 to serve a 7-year term, and whereas he served as a member of the Planning and External Relations Committee, Operations Committee, and Personnel Committee, and whereas he was chair of the Planning and External Relations Committee in 2020 and chair of the Operations Committee 2021-2022, and whereas he served as Board Secretary in 2021, Vice President in 2022, and President of the Board in 2023. And whereas he was an advocate for the purchase of the Coventry Peace Park and building and its continued stewardship, defending a public asset for the benefit of the whole community. And whereas he led the library through the design phase of the Coventry Peace Park renovation and assisted in advocacy with the government of Cleveland Heights to obtain ARPA funding for the park. And whereas he brought forward the plans to create a new noble library, new Noble Neighborhood Branch with a green space for the community, and his leadership during a global pandemic provided a steady hand and a caring heart felt by the staff and the community. And whereas he led the library to be a voice for the citizens in seeking racial equity, protecting the rights of the LGBTQ community, and celebrating diversity of all kinds in our libraries. And whereas he recognized the importance of community engagement and responsiveness, which was aptly demonstrated in our strategic planning processes. And he also enthusiastically supported our Fine Free program. And whereas he advocated for salary increases for the staff during a time of economic change, and he understood the value of an independent public library system to our communities. And whereas during his term of service, Heights Libraries continued to achieve superior rankings in the Library Journal Index, proving the Heights Libraries to be a national leader. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this resolution of tribute be spread upon the minutes. Thank you.
And we did ask Max.
Oh, that's great.
What he would like as his parting gift. So he has a lovely photo of a very large group of people doing the groundbreaking at Noble and a very special little cameo with Oscar on his shoulders.
That's great.
There you go.
Thanks so
enjoy
much.
And take that with you when you move, right?
Appreciate
it. Give you a hug.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think our board members will tell you this is not always a fun job. They do a lot of work. And Max, as is reflected in your resolution, you definitely did all through your 7-year term, and we're very, very appreciative. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion to approve this resolution?
A second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
None opposed?
No comments.
Yeah, I do just a couple of things. I mean, obviously a lot has happened in the last 7 years, you know, that we've all been through, right? The Trump presidency, the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, attempted censorship and threats from the state government, the war in Ukraine, the ongoing war in Gaza. But not all bad. I mean, we want abortion rights enshrined in the state constitution this year and legalized cannabis in Ohio, which are some steps forward. But through all these issues and a lot else that's happened over the last couple of years, people look to the library for answers and resources. And despite all the volatility that we're facing, the library stepped up and continues to step up time and again to provide those answers and resources. And I'm really proud of the work that's been done. Moving forward, just kind of thinking about the future and not coming to these meetings twice a month for forever, I thought it would be sort of poetic to echo the message from my first board president, Ron Holland. And I think what makes the library work really is the people who work here, the staff, and I think the community knows this. So I think it's really important that, you know, as a board, you know, moving forward, thinking about this, investing in those people and that staff, that's money money spent on staff, I mean, because nobody wants to talk about it, but it costs money to run this operation. It pays itself back at least in two ways. And number one, that's money that gets spent on employees and community members themselves who live and spend money in this community. And that's an economic engine in and of itself. But two, attracting and retaining high quality staff, spending that money correctly. You know, there's always concerns about money and this being a public entity and how that gets spent, and I think we do it really wisely. You know, there's always going to be concerns about a certain crank or two on social media who might want to complain about certain things. But I think if the money is being spent on the highest quality staff, and I think we do a really good job of that, then the public knows it and will be supportive of us when we have to go to the polls at some point. And lastly, just to sort of saying again, and I didn't realize it was going to be put in there, but protecting of public assets. You know, the only regret that I have at this point is not being able to be on the board to see the completion of the Noble Branch, which is my home branch, the renovation there, and the Peace Park itself. You know, we fought really hard to get that Peace Campus, the building and the park, and to keep it a public good instead of being developed in, by private industry. So don't get distraught. I mean, a lot of the news that's come out of there, I think it's kind of evened out over the last year or two, but I know there's been a lot of volatility around that as well. You know, short-term setbacks like vacancy rates, fundraising shortfalls that might be there. You know, we knew this would be a journey when we got it, and all journeys have their bad days. So overall, just, you know, consider that progress is not a straight line. You know, keep your eyes on the prize, the bigger picture, and trust Nancy, Debbie, Kim, everybody here, and the rest of the amazing staff here to fulfill our vision and mission going forward. So, thank you.
I'm going to miss the perspective that Max has brought to some of our discussions. It's been really valuable having you as a member of the board.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
We'd like to go into executive session to discuss the evaluation and compensation of personnel. Do I have a motion?
A motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Oh, I thought you moved. Who moved?
Patty moved.
Oh, Pat. Okay, sorry. Ms. Carlisle?
Yes.
Ms. Whelan?
Yes.
Mr. Grubach?
Yes.
Ms. Iwamoto?
Yes.
Mr. McTighe?
Yes.
Ms. Soto Schwartz?
Yes.
Mr. Tarakia?
Yes.
We'll take a few minutes to let everyone clear out. And you guys,
all of us. Mm-hmm.